Today's shir in the Daf Yom is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Aleph. And we're going to begin about four lines from the top, Nun Aleph, Omud Aleph. Yesterday's shir, we had brought down that Rav Sheshes held that the carbon that we were referring to, that the Zevach is more chomer than the Tzmura, was the Elo Shel Aaron, is the Kohen Gadol's Ayah that's brought in Yom Kippur. So now the Gemara says, well, Rav Sheshes, according to Rav Sheshes, who said that we're not dealing with the power of the Kohen Gadol, but we're dealing with the Isle of the Kohen Gadol, at the Mokim Lo Be'elo Shel Aaron, instead of saying that this is dealing with the Isle of Aaron, which was, we said, a Korban Yochid, it was Docha Shabbos, Docha Tumah, because it had to be brought on Yom Kippur, even if it was Shabbos, and even if there was Tumah, and therefore there could be a Tumura on it, and that's how we interpreted the Zevach, more Chomer than the Tumura. So instead of using the Elo Shel Aaron, look more be Pesach. Why didn't he say it was referring to the Korban Pesach, which in this situation would be also the Docha Shabbos, it's also Docha Shabbos, Korban Pesach, it comes out on Erev Shabbos, Cholios with Pesach, so you are shechting the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, and it's also Dochas HaTumah, if the Tzibur is Tomei, so then you still bring the Korban Pesach, and likewise it's the Korban Yochid, Osa Tmura. And therefore, this would be the Korban Yochid, this would be the perfect example of a Zevach that's more Chomer than the Tmura. So why did Rav Sheshes specifically say it wasn't the Par Shel Aaron, Kohen Gadol, for the various reasons that we said, and he said it was the Ayel Sharon, he had another pretty easy answer. Why didn't he say it was the Korban Pesach? So Gemara says, the reason why Rosh Hashanah didn't say it's the Korban Pesach, because Kusavar ain't shochtin ha-Pesach ala yochid. Because he says, you don't shecht the Korban Pesach for an individual. This goes like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. We learned the Gemara in Pesach not that long ago. Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't bring a Korban Pesach by yourself. You have to have at least one other person on it. And therefore, it's not really a Korban Yochid. It would be, again, a Korban of Shutfim. If it's a Korban of Shutfim, so that's why he didn't give it as an example of a Zevach that is more Chomer than a Tmura, because there can't be any Tmura on a Korban of Shutfim. So he says, okay, if you don't want it to be the Pesach Rishon, so then that could be brought over here with a single partner, at least one other partner. What about the Pesach Sheni? If it don't be the Pesach Sheni, a Pesach Sheni could be brought by itself. You don't have to bring it with anybody else. So Gemara says, oh, you know why he didn't say it's the Korban Pesach, Pesach Sheni? Because mi dochi tumah. There's a machlokis that we had in the Gemara in Pesachim as to whether the Korban on Pesach Sheni can be brought when you're in tumah. The whole idea that the Korban Pesach on the Rishon was allowed to be brought on Korban Pesach Sheni was that when an individual was tumah, so he was allowed to go bring the Pesach Sheni while he was no longer Tomei. But what happens if he's still Tomei by Pesach Sheni, or he became re-Tomei again by Pesach Sheni? So this opinion holds that a Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni cannot be brought by Tumah, and therefore this would not have been an example of it's Docha Shabbos and Docha Tumah. It's Docha Shabbos, but it wouldn't be Docha Tumah. So that's why Rav Sheshes didn't give this as an example, either the Pesach for Pesach Rishon or for the Pesach for Pesach Sheni, and he obviously, for the reasons we said yesterday, didn't want it to be the part of the Kohen Gadol, and therefore he had to explain it as being the Ayel Shel Aaron. Now, previously we had a machlokis and a discussion about the Mishnah and Brisa in yesterday's share, where we said, Amalei Rav Huna Breidi Rav Yishua L'Rabba. Rav Huna Breidi Rav Yishua said to Rabba that the Tana of this Mishnah that we brought down from Temura, and as well the Brisa that was there, said as follows. The Tana, Maishno Pesach, the Korilei Korban Yochid. We said that the Korban Pesach is called a Korban Yochid, but we said, Umaishno Chagiga, the Korilei Korban Sibur. But we call the Chagiga, which is also brought by an individual, we call it a Korban Sibur. I said we would get to this question in yesterday's share, and here's where we get to it. So we seem to be calling the Korban Pesach a Korban Yochid, as opposed to the Korban Chagiga, which we're calling Korban Sibur. But they both seem to be identical in terms of their status. And if you're going to tell me that the reason why the Korban Chagiga is called a Korban Sibur is imishum da ase bekenufya, that it's brought with a large crowd of people, that everybody's bringing their Korban Chagiga at the same time, so that's called bekenufya, it's called with a large gathering, it's a big population of people that bring the Korban Chagiga, and that's why it's called the Korban Sibur. So then the same exact thing should apply to the Korban Pesach. Pesach Nami, also Bechinufya. The Korban Pesach is also brought hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. Remember, we had the Gemara in Pesach, 600,000 pairs of kidneys were brought. So a huge number of Korban Pesach. So it's also Bechinufya. If you're telling me the Korban Chagiga is called the Korban Siba because so many people are bringing it at the same time, so Allah has come with a comment, the Korban Pesach should have the same dinim. So what is Rava going to say to that? So Rav Huna Breidi Rav Yishua asked this to Rava, and Rava said, no, Ika Pesach Sheni, the Lossi Bechinufya. That's because while a Korban Pesach on Pesach Rishon, on the normal time of Pesach, that's brought with a huge crowd, a Pesach Sheni could be brought for a handful of people, only a very small number of people that were Tomei on Pesach Rishon. Be very careful, try not to be Tomei when it came to Pesach, so therefore only a small handful of people might be bringing a Pesach Sheni. And therefore, that's why the Tana didn't call it a Korban Seba, because it's not brought the Chinufya, it's not brought with a large crowd. So Rav Huna Rebbe Yeshua says back to that. He says back to Rav Amalei, Im Kein Yedochas Shabbos is a Tumah. Okay, so if you're talking here that it's the Pesach Sheni that we're referring to, and that's a Korban Yochid, so it was Doche Shabbos, but it should also be Doche Tumah. But we don't find that it's Doche Tumah. So Amalei, so Rav says, yeah, that's exactly like the Man D'Yomer that I hold like, as I mentioned a few moments ago, and here we see it again, in Kiman D'Yomer Dochi. There's a machlokis that we had in the Gemara in Pesachim as to whether the Pesach Sheni is Doche Tumah, and now we'll get a little bit more to that machlokis. So, obviously, Rav Huna Rebbe Yeshua would say that it's not Doche Tumah, holds like that Man D'Yomer, but Rabbi says, no, I hold like the Man D'Yomer says that it is Doche Tumah. And what is this machlokis? So we bring it down now, the Tanya. We learned in the Braisa, Pesach Sheni Doche Shabbos, being Doche Tumah. This Braisa is a Tosef Din Chagiga, and it says that the Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni is Doche Shabbos, according to the first opinion, but it's not Doche Satumah. So that's the opinion of Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and this is the opinion that Rav is going like, Rav says, Af Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and this is Rav's opinion, Af Doche Satumah. No, a Pesach Sheni can be Doche Tumah, even though it's being brought because they were Tomei on Pesach Rishon and they didn't bring it then. Nevertheless, if you're still Tomei on Pesach Sheni, you're allowed to go bring it on Pesach Sheni. Now, what's the understanding over here? My time at the Tanakhama, the Tanakhama said that it's not Doche Tumah. So he says very simply, Amar L'chai, he says as follows, the reason why we didn't bring it on Pesach Rishon because he's Tomei. And we said, don't bring it when you're Tomei, because the Hotzibah is not Tomei, only you as an individual are Tomei, and therefore, Mipnei Tumah D'chiso, now you're going to say that you said the Tumah, and how on Pesach Sheni, you should now bring it the Tumah? No, the bottom line is, if you're Tomei, you had a second opportunity, but if you're still Tomei at the second opportunity, so onus rachman apatri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect you to bring it in that situation. He gave you one extra chance. If you could, if you're Tomei on Pesach Rishon, you get to bring it on Pesach Sheni, but if you're still Debach Tomei, or you became Tomei again, and you're Tomei on Pesach Sheni, you don't bring it. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Pesach Sheni is not Doche Tumah. But Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Amar Loch, he says as follows, Amar Kor, the Pasuk says that the Pesach Sheni has kekol chukas ha-Pesach yasu so. The Pesach Sheni has all of the same laws as the Pesach Rishon. And therefore, just like the Pesach on Rishon can be Doche Tumah, Vafilu B'Tumah, it means that just like the Korban Pesach, sometimes if the entire Tzibur is Tomei, or the majority of Tzibur is Tomei, so then you can bring it B'Tumah, so too. HaTorah Herzira Lov Lasel So B'Torah. So if he's only an individual, the Torah said, okay, try to bring in a Pesach Sheni B'Tara. If you're only an individual, don't bring it B'Tumah on Pesach Rishon. But the bottom line is, Lo Zocha, if you weren't Zocha to be able to bring it B'Tara on Pesach Sheni, Yasenu B'Tumah. The bottom line is, you're allowed to go and bring it B'Tumah. And therefore, that is the machlokis of it between the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the same machlokis of Huna Brei Rabbi Yeshua and Rava. Now we turn to Nun Aleph Omud Beis, and we say here the following. Why don't we go and say when Rabbi Lazar yesterday had the Shaila, can the Kohen Gadol's par that he brings on Yom Kippur, can he do Tmura with it or not? So we had a whole discussion. That was Rabbi Lazar's question. So Gemara says, why don't we answer that and say that it is considered his private carbon and he should be able to do Tmura with it? Again, you're not allowed to do Tumura. We're asking if he did Tumura, would the Tumura be affected? So the Tebeklei, we should bring it down from the following. It says three times in the Pasuk, Asher Lo. It says, Vikriv Aaron es parachatos Asher Lo, v'chiper bado v'ad beiso. And then it says, Vikriv Aaron es parachatos Asher Lo, v'chiper bado v'ad beiso, v'shachat es parachatos Asher Lo. So that's the third time. So it says three times Asher Lo. First time in Pasuk Vav, and then twice in Pasuk Yod Aleph, both of them are imperic tes zayin. So we have three times the words ashalo. What are we darshing out from these three times the word it says ashalo? The tepuk lay, so we should be able to answer Rabbi Loz's question from yesterday. Can the Kohen Gadol do a tumur? Will the tumur be effective on his par? Or do we say, no, it's a par shel shutfim, and therefore, because it belongs to the other Kohanim, chiper bado v'yad beso, and therefore a tumur won't take effect. That was Rabbi Loz's question from yesterday. So why don't we answer it from it? It says three times in the pasuk, v'tebikle, the asher lo, amrechmona, three times. So mishalohu, maybe that means it has to come from his own. The first time it says asher lo, means it has to come from his own pocket. It has to come from his own personal possessions. The Tanya, as we darshan in the Braisa, so we had this previously, and we have it again now. Pasuk says first Asher Lo, it means Mishalohu baby, Lo Mishal Tzibur. It comes out of his own pocket, and it doesn't come out of the Lishkas HaGazis. It doesn't come out of the Trumas HaLishka. comes from his own personal funds and not from the community funds. That's the first time it says Ashalo. No, Yachol lo yavi mishal tzibur. Okay, you're not allowed to bring from the tzibur, but she'en ha'tzibur miskapim, because all of Klal Yisrael doesn't get a kapar from this, they get the kapar from the Sar Lashem. Only the Kohanim and himself get the kabar from the power of the Kohen Gadol, though. She'en ha'tzibur miskapim bo, so therefore, that's why it can't come from the communal funds of the tzibur. It can't come from the Lishka Sagazis. Can't come from the Truma Salishka. Abo yavi mishal echava Kohanim. But, you know what? You should be able to have his fellow Kohanim, who are also getting kabar from him, because there's a chi parbado v'ad beso, he should be able to go and take funds for this from his fellow Kohanim, because it works for them as well. Shari echava Kohanim miskapim bo. They also get a kapara. So therefore, the second time it says Ashalo, Talmud Lomar Ashalo comes to teach me that no, it still has to come from his own pocket. No, why does it say it a third time? Yochalo Yavi. Okay, so Lichatchila, it should come from the Kohen Gadol's pocket and not from the fellow Kohanim's pocket. But that's Lichatchila. Yochalo Yavi. However, Vimhevi Kosher. But I would say, listen, they help him out. They say, listen, why should you have to spend all the money yourself? We want to help you out. And we'll go and pay for it. So that's why the third time it says Talmud Lomar Shuv. It says the third time Ashalo to teach us Shana Hakosav Olav Laakev. That comes to teach us that it is Ma'akev. You're not allowed to go and have anybody pay for the funds, even bid the Yevet. So it has to totally come from him. So therefore, if it's totally Kohen Gadol's, so then Tak, it's a Korban Yochid. It's not really a Korban of Shutvim. And therefore, we should say that he could be making a tmura on it that would take effect. Even again, not allowed to do tmura, but he should take effect. So that's what we want to answer of Elazar's question. The word says, not so fast. Ultaimech, according to what you're saying, so echav kohanim, ilab de konim begavei, hechim chablu. How can his fellow kohanim get a kapar from it if they're not considered somewhat shutvim in it? Ella, what must you say? Ella, shine be gaza the aron. We view be gaza, Rashi tells us in the Gemara in Gittin, that Gaza means an otsar. So it means that the Be'gaza, the Aaron, in other words, the Kohen Gadol's pocket is different. The Afkir Rachmana Gabi Yachav HaKohanim, that it, so to say, says, even though you're paying for it out of your own pocket, we take it out of your personal possession and we give it, so to say, to all of the other Kohanim, so therefore they can get a kapara from it. So therefore, since that's what the Pasuk does, and the Bach says over here, so this works over here, Hechim Mechapalu, Af Bikufya, so it works, so to say, that they're floating on top of it, like we said yesterday, so they are entitled to it, and therefore it's still considered to a certain aspect, a certain extent, an aspect of Shutvis, and therefore the Kohen Gadol cannot be making a Temura from it, so therefore, Hechim Mechapalu, it must be, Eloshaini Begaz of the Avon, that's different, Afkri Rechmona Gabi Echav HaKohanim, so too, Hoch Gabi Temura, same thing in regards to Temura, just like they can get a Kapar from it, so too, by Tmura. Nami, shiny because of the Aaron, the Afki Rachman Gabi Echav HaKohanim, and therefore you can't bring me a raya one way or the other that it's Tmura. And the Bach adds over here, but you could still possibly say, as we said yesterday, no, it's a Kavius, and therefore maybe it is a real carbon Shutvim, so we don't have one way or the other to know, so we can't answer the question from the words Asher Lo. We're not sure exactly what mechanism the Kohanim are being Makapra. Do we say it's like it's a Kavias, that they actually own part of it? Or is it coming along that like they're somehow a special dispensation is given, they got Kapara from it, but they're really not actually Shutvim in it. So in any event, we can't bring an answer to Rebbe Elazar's question from the three times it says, Asher Lo. We leave that as an Abaya, the Lo Pshitalei. Now the Gemara continues and he says, the next Mishnah, Mahalech Mehecho, we go back to the Kohen Gadol. Remember, he already has done the shoveling of the coals from the top of the special pyre, and we put that down, and that's in a special golden shovel, and then he's also done the Melo Chofnav, which he put into the kaf, and now he takes in his left hand the kaf, he takes in his right hand the shovel with the coals, and now he enters into Lifnai V'Lifnim. So how does he get there? So we have three different opinions. He has to obviously go from the eastern part of the Hechel, as you enter into the Hechel through the Ulam, you enter into the Hechel, you're going from an east to a west orientation, he has to go through the Hechel and get inside the Kodesh Kodoshim, the Holy of Holies. So how does he do this? So the Mishnah says three opinions. The first opinion is that he goes into the Hechel, Hoy Mahalach Behechel, and now, Ad Shemegia Levein Shtei HaParochos HaMavdilos Ben HaKodesh Uben Kodesh HaKodoshim. As we'll see, in the second Beis HaMikdash, there is an opinion that says that there were two curtains separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodoshim, the regular part of the Hechel with the holiest, holy part of the Hechel, the Kodesh Kodoshim. This was open on the southern side. You entered through the southern side. You traversed in between the two curtains, and then you went all the way from south to north, and you entered into the Holy of Holies on the northern side. On the easternmost part of the Holy of Holies, you would enter inside and then go from, again, north to south to the middle of the Holy of Holies, and that's where the in the first Beis HaMikdash the Aron was, and second Beis HaMikdash there wasn't an Aron, but that would be the area of Ben HaBadim, between the poles of the Aron, where the Haktaras would be done, Lifnai V'Lifnim. So according to the Tanakhama's opinion, since the opening is on the southern aspect of the area between the two Parochasin, and we'll see why there were two parochasin according to this opinion. So he had to go. He entered into the holy, into the Heichal, and he went to the area dividing the Holy of Holies from the Holy, and the Kodesh Kodashim, which was on the southeastern part of the Kodesh Kodashim, in between the two curtains. That's where he would enter on the southern aspect. And he would then cross from the south to the north and enter into the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Kodashim, on the northernmost aspect. So that's the Tanakhama's opinion. Ubeneim Amma, there was an Amma in between these two curtains, which we'll see was Kineged, the Amma that was present in the Mishkan and in the first Beis HaMikdash. In the second Beis HaMikdash, since the ceiling was much higher, they couldn't build a wall. It wouldn't be sturdy having a wall of one Amma, and it wasn't allowed to be more to make it sturdy because it was only one Amma. So therefore, in the second Beis HaMikdash, they weren't sure what the status of this wall was in the first Beis HaMikdash. Was the inner part the Holy of Holies, or was the outer part the Holy of Holies? So therefore, they weren't sure, and they had to be exact. So therefore, they put a parochas in case that was the innermost part was the border of the Kodesh Kodashim. They put another parochas in case the outermost part of the wall was the end of the Kodesh Kodashim. And therefore, whatever that in-between area was, it could either go as part of the Kodesh Kodashim, or it could go as part of the Kodesh, and therefore they would be okay. So that's the Tanakhama's opinion. So Ubineim Amma, there was an Amma between these two parochasin, and therefore you had to enter on the southern side, and that's the Tanakhama's opinion, that he would go through the Heichal and enter into the Kodesh Kodashim first on the southern side, then traverse to the northern side and enter into the Holy of Holies on the northern side. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, lo yisa shomel parochas achas bulvad, he says there was only one parochas in the Beis HaMikdash, there were not two, and therefore the opening was on the northern side, and you would enter into the northern side. So therefore, when a person entered into the Heichal, he had to go to the northernmost side, and he would go into the opening of the parochas on the northernmost side. Where does he get this from? Shinemai, Rav Yossi says, the pasuk says, v'hivdilo ha-parochas, singular, lochem ben ha-kodesh kodashim. The pasuk describes a single parochas separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodoshim. And the Gemara starts off and says, Taka, that's a very good raya. A pasuk says one parochas. Shapikamalu Rav Yossi Rabbanan. The Tanakhama, what are they going to say to Rav Yossi's pasuk? It says there's one parochas. How can you, Tanakhama, Chachamim, say that the two parochas are? So Gemara says, no, they have a very simple teretz. Rabbanan, Amriloch, the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama would say, Hani, Mili, B'mishkan. When do you have only a single parochas? That pasuk is referring to the Mishkan, right? Sukkim and Chumash only deal with the Mishkan. We don't deal with the Beis HaMikdash. The Navi, with David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, with Nosan HaNavi, so they deal with the building of the first Beis HaMikdash. So the Sukkim are dealing with the Mishkan. Avo B'Mikdasheni, in the second Beis HaMikdash. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there was an Amma, tracks in a wall. But in the second Beis HaMikdash, as we already pointed out a few minutes ago, they weren't sure what was the status of the wall. Was the inner part of the wall the Kodesh Kodashim? Was the outer part of the wall still Kodesh Kodashim? So Avu B'Mikdasheni, Kiv Lo Haboi Amatraxin, since they didn't have the physical wall, as the Mefarshim point out, again, the ceiling was much higher, and a wall that was one Amma wide that had to go up 100 Amma tall would fall down. So therefore, and they couldn't make it thicker, so it would be sturdier, so therefore they just put in curtains. But they, again, didn't know which part of the wall was the start or the end of the Kodesh Kodashim, so therefore they put in two curtains. In the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, they had a wall, the Amma Traxin. Why was it called Traxin? So Tosos, the Rav Maskil, Traxin tells us from Rashi, Pirush Rashi, Panim V'chutz. The word Traxin means track and sin, inside and outside. Again, we weren't sure which was which. Alternatively, he says, V'yesh Mefarshim, Traxin Miloshon Truku Gali. The Gemara in Brachos says, close off over here, Shesogur Hayo Lefrim, Himenu Halucho Shenitnu B'Sinai. That's the Tarak, close off over here, Sinai, Traxin. So close off what was given on Sinai, because the Luchos were inside, the Arod, inside the Kodesh Kodashim, in the first Beis HaMikdash. So that was called the Amma Traxin. And V'yistabgul, back to the Gemara, that was only present in the Mikdash Rishon with that boy. V'yistabgul L'Rabbonim B'Kiddushaseh. And they weren't sure, again, was it the start of the wall that was the end of the Kodesh Kodashim, or was it the end of the wall that was the end of the Kodesh Kodashim? So therefore, Iki Lefrim, Iki Lechutz, that was the first shot of Traxin. Was it inside or outside? And therefore, for the second Beis HaMikdash, we avut shtei parochas. The Tanakhama, the Chacham say they made two parochas. Fine. Now the Gemara discusses this a little bit further. Tana Rabban, and we learned in the following braisa, Bein HaMizbeach L'menor Roy Mahalech. According to the first opinion over here, which is Divri Rabbi Yehuda, the Kohen, when he would enter into the Heichal, he had to go to the southern side. This holds that there was only an entryway through the southern side. In other words, there were two parochas, and according to the Tanakhama, so you entered on the southern side, then you traversed the area between the two parochas and to go all the way to the north side, which was the opening into the Kodesh Kodashim. And you can see diagrams of this in both the Art Scroll and the Masifta for those that need to see a diagram. Obviously, a picture is worth a thousand words. In any event, so you entered into the Heichal, and then you had to go in between the Mizbeach, which was in the middle of the Heichal, and then you went to the southern side, which is the menorah, and you traversed in between the Mizbeach and the menorah, which is on the southern side. By definition, the menorah had to be on the southern side, the Shulchan had to be on the northern side, and again, Shlomo HaMelech added on an additional 10 menorahs and an additional 10 Shulchanos, which we'll deal with in a moment. In any event, so you specifically passed in between the middle Mizbeach HaPnimi and the southern, but 2.5 amos away from the southern wall, menorah. In other words, you didn't go between the southern wall and the menorah. The Gemara will answer that why you didn't in a short while, but you went in between the Mizbeach and the southern menorah. And therefore, you then entered to the southern side, but you had to go specifically between those two. We'll tell us later on that we didn't go between the menorah and the southern wall because we were concerned that the smoke would have black on the wall and the Kohen Gadol would maybe rubbing against the wall if he went close to the wall, and that would get the soot on his begadim. He's wearing white begadim. We didn't want that to happen. So that's why he traversed between the Mizbeach and the menorah. So this is the first opinion, Divrei Rav Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir Omer, no. Rav Meir says that, in fact, Bein Shulchan LaMizbeach, he walked on the northern side. Rav Meir holds that there was only one entrance. This is an entrance that was on the northern side. There was only one paroches, and therefore he had to enter on the northern side. But he went in between Bein Shulchan LaMizbeach. Again, the Mizbeach in the middle, the Shulchan is in the northern aspect, again, 2.5 amos away from the wall, but he walked in between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan. A second opinion within that the only had one paroches, the Yesh Omim, Bein Shulchan Lakosa. No, that he actually walked in between the Shulchan and the wall itself. Here there was no concern of soot on the wall, and this opinion, this third opinion, which we'll see is Rav Yossi, said that he walked in between the Shulchan and the wall itself. So two opinions over here, both of them say, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, this Yesh Omim is Rav Yossi, both of them say that there was only one paroches, and therefore the entrance to the Kodesh Kodosh was on the northern side. And again, you can see this in diagrams in both the Art Scroll and in the Masifta for those that need diagrams. So he tells us over here that you entered, in according to Rav Meir, in between the middle Mizbeach and the Shulchan, which is north, but not all the way north. And according to the Yesh Omim, Rav Yossi, you actually traversed in between the Shulchan and the northern wall. Who is this Yesh Omim? One Yesh Omim. So as I just said, Amar Chisda, this is Rav Yossi. He, the Amar, Pischa Batzafon Koi. This opinion of both Rav Yossi and Rav Meir says that there was only one paroches, and therefore the entranceway into the Holy of Holies was on the northern side. Now the Gemara continues and says, Rav Yehuda Amaloch, Rav Yehuda will tell you, no, Pischa Badarim Koi. I hold that there were two paroches in, not like Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, and therefore he had to enter on the southern side, and therefore Pischa Badarim Koi, and that's why he went in between the Mizbeach and the southern menorah. Now, the Rav Meir, who does Rav Meir hold like? He doesn't go all the way in north, like Rav Yossi said, in between the Shulchan and the wall, so maybe he doesn't hold that it's all the way on the north, the entranceway, one parochus. Maybe he holds it's on the southern side. So, Rav Meir, Ik Rav Yehuda, if he holds like Rav Yehuda, that there were two parochus in, so if in fact he holds like that, Ik Rav Yehuda, Sfirulei, Nail Rav Yehuda. So then, why doesn't he say that you should enter on the southern side? Why does he come in on the northern side between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan? He should say, like Rav Yehuda, that you should enter between the Mizbeach and the menorah, or all the way on the southern side, even though we haven't yet given the reason why we don't do that because of the soot, but he should go in on the southern side if he holds like Rav Yehuda. No, Ik Rav Yossi, Sfirulei, if he holds like Rav Yossi, it's a Nail Rav Yossi. So then he should go in all the way north between the Shulchan and the northern wall. Why does he say he go in between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan? So the Gemara says, as I've already mentioned, Lolim Rav Yossi Sfirulei. In fact, he holds like Rav Yossi. And in fact, he holds that there is only one paroches, and therefore the entranceway is on the northern side. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol should be walking in on the northern side. So why does he not go between the Shulchan and the northern wall? Why does this opinion of Rav Meir say he goes in between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan? Because, as I mentioned, there were 11 Shulchanos. There was the first one that Shlomo HaMelech got from Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Shlomo Melech added on 10 additional Shulchanos. And there's a machlokas as to whether those were in a north-south orientation or they were in an east-west orientation. So this opinion of Rav Meir holds Yom Loch Shulchanos Safon V'Dorim Munochem. So you had 5 Shulchanos that were in a north-south orientation. So you had 5 Shulchanos that were to the east of the main Shulchan, and you had 5 Shulchanos that were to the left of the main Shulchan. Each of these was taking up a space of 2 amos. So you have 5 times 2 amos, that's 10 amos. Now, the entire width of the Heichal was only 20 amos, and the Shulchanos all had to be on the northern side. So therefore, the only way that the Kohen Gadol could get through on the northern side was if he went in between the Mizbeach, which was a little bit more east, and the Shulchan, which is a little bit more west, so there was a little space that he could traverse it. So that's the only way to get to the northern side where the Parochus opened up into the Holy of Holies. And again, you can see this in diagrams of both the Art Scroll and in the Masifta. So therefore, Reb Meir holds that it was in a north-south orientation. Reb Yossi holds it was in a east-west orientation, so there was still plenty of room to go in between the northernmost Shulchanos and the wall. And that's why Reb Yossi says you go in between the Shulchan and the wall, and that's why Rabbi Meir holds that you go in between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan. Both of them say that there's only one Parochus, and the entranceway is in on the northern side of the Heichal as you enter into the Kodesh Kodashim. And that's what the Gemara says. According to Rav Meir, Shulchanos Tafim Medar Munachin Umafsuka Lei Shulchan Velo Masai Lei. And the Shulchanos, all 11 of them, were blocking him, and therefore he had to go south of the Shulchanos, which was right down the middle of the Heichal, in between the Mizbeach, which was plop in the middle, and the Shulchanos. There was a little bit of room because, again, the Mizbeach was a little bit more east than the Shulchan and the Menorah, which we learned previously were directly opposite each other, a little bit more west inside the Heichal. That's teretz number one. If I say more, alternately, you have teretz number two. Li'olam izuchum marav unochim. In fact, you could argue that even according to Rav Meir, the Shulchanos were all in an east to west orientation, and there technically would be room for a person to go in between the Shulchan and the northernmost wall. However, umishum shchina, for a person to walk directly in on the shchina like that, go in the most direct route, so lava. Orach Ara. Rav Meir felt that that was inappropriate. It's pasnished. It's not a proper covenant for a person to walk right in. You should walk in a little bit more of a circuitous fashion. You shouldn't just walk right into the Kodesh Kodashim. And we turn to Nun Beis Amud Aleph. So it says, Lav Orach Ara Lemeyol Lahedya, that he shouldn't go inside directly. Obviously, Rav Yossi felt that that's not a problem. Rav Yossi Amalach, he says, Chavivin Yisrael Shalom Yitzricha Nakosu L'Shaliach, that we are so beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we directly go in there. The Kohen Gadol is representing all of Klai Yisrael, directly goes in there himself. So he doesn't need to have an indirect route. He's allowed to go and take a direct route. No, Rav Yehuda Nami. So the opinion of Rav Yehuda, how come he doesn't say that you go in on the southernmost side? Granted, we just said that you either say you can go in directly or indirectly, but for Rav Yehuda, there's the double curtain, so he's not going in directly, so that whole question, do you say the Chaviv or not, is inappropriate. He's going in on the southern side, but he's traversing south to north, so why can't you go in directly on the southern side, according to Rav Yehuda? So this is the question I mentioned before, Rav Yehuda, Nami, Neol Bein, Menorah Lekol, so why isn't it going in between the menorah and the wall itself? Why does he go between the Mizbeach and the menorah? So as I already mentioned before, here's the Teretz, Meshachrei Mone, because of the soot that comes off of the menorah, the wall on the southernmost side might be a little bit blackened with soot. And as the Kohen Gadol, wearing his white garments, is going to walk in between the menorah and the southern wall, he might come into contact with the southern wall, and as a result, he's going to get his white garments dirty, and that we don't want. So again, this was a fascinating shir, a description, the last part of the shir from the Mishnah, as to the three opinions as to how the Kohen Gadol actually entered the Heichal and got to the Lefnai v'Lefnim. Yetz Hashem, Meir Yemeinu, we should see the third Beis HaMikdash and see what the opinions are, as it's brought down in Yecheskel, telling us about the structure of the third Beis HaMikdash. We look forward to seeing the Kohen Gadol go in on Yom Kippur with our own eyes. With this, we conclude today's shir.